We are told again and again during Advent that we must wait, sit still, anticipate, be watchful, alert, just wait and hope, expect and hope. Soon now, very, very soon, keep hoping, keep hoping, keep hoping. Fortunately, we are assured by Paul in his letter to the Romans that by endurance and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Endurance indeed. What is it that we are waiting for? For whom do we wait? And why must we endure? Why do we need encouragement to endure? Frankly, that doesn't sound all that attractive to me. Don't we encourage one another in grief and sorrow, or when some devastating event has crushed all of our hope? Strengthen my heart to last, O Lord. Strengthen my heart to suffer well until the coming of your Son. And may I with him produce good fruit. Again, who is it that we are waiting for? Here's who it is that we're waiting for. Jesus, the just judge, eyes radiant with his Father's mercy. Christ the King, right hand lifted high in blessing. Jesus, the transfigured sacrifice of Mount Tabor, sign of the Father's promise of resurrection. Jesus, the entombed, wrapped in burial cloth and laid to rest in his grave. Christ, the broken man of the cross, lifted up by Joseph and washed for burial. Jesus, the King of the Jews, nailed hand and feet to the cross, admitting to heaven the crucified but repentant thief. Christ, the scorned, the beaten, the one betrayed in the garden. Jesus, the revolutionary criminal, arrested and abandoned by his friends. Christ, the bread of life, the cup of salvation, given to us at Passover. Jesus, the teacher, who teaches only truth. Jesus, the preacher, who preaches repentance and mercy. Jesus, the healer, who draws out the faith of the sick, the crippled, the unclean, and makes them whole. Christ at the wedding feast, the son of Mary, changing water to wine, the first sign of his ministry to come. Jesus, the baptized, raising from the Jordan at the hands of John. Christ, the beloved son, the one to whom we must listen. Jesus, the student in the temple, learning the law in its fulfillment. Christ, the lost boy, teaching his elders in the synagogue. Jesus, the Christ child, asleep in his bed of straw. Christ, the newborn, receiving the reverend magi. Jesus, the Spirit of God, who overwhelmed Mary, his mother, and ours, to be born a man like us. Christ, the Word at creation, wisdom at his Father's side, prophet of reconciliation, instrument of both division and peace. We wait for the coming of the shoot of Jesse's branch, Christ Jesus, Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, I am. We wait for the consummation of the world and the coming again of Christ, the just judge. And here you thought you were waiting for Santa Claus and your favorite Christmas ham. Listen again to Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. He will judge with justice and decide aright for the poor. He will strike down the ruthless and slay the wicked. His coming will subvert the natural order of creation. Wolf with lamb, leopard with sheep, lion with calf. All will browse together as guests at his table. The child will lead the bear and cow to friendship, and the lion will eat hay like an ox. His coming will be a sign for all the nations, and the Gentiles shall seek him out, for his dwelling shall be glorious. Paul, our witness, teaches us that Christ became the minister of the Jews to show God's truthfulness, to confirm the promises of the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles, that is, all the rest of us, might glorify God for his mercy. We are not waiting on eggnog, ugly sweaters, gift cards to Cracker Barrel, battery-operated dolls with glamorous outfits, new cars, fake furs, or my personal favorite, Britney Spears' latest CD. Our gospel acclamation this evening says it all. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. It is too quick and easy a thing to say that Advent is a season of preparation. For us, the ones who wait for the thief to come at any moment, for us, being prepared is a way of life, right? I mean, sitting here on edge, vibrating with adrenaline-fueled tension, just waiting to spring into holiness, to snap into charitable action, the second the heavenly trumpet blares and the first cumulus nimbus parts. Being ready is what we do. Trumpet, cloud, Jesus, and bam, we're on it and set to go. But just one small question again. Who is it again that we're waiting for? We've heard king and judge, child and lamb, servant and master, Emmanuel and I am. So here we are, sitting here, standing here, praying here, praising here, just being here, waiting in joyful hope for the coming of the Lord. But are we sure what it means to make straight the path of the Lord? And for that matter, are we clear on what all flesh shall see the salvation of God means? Probably not. John the Baptist understood his mission perfectly. Leaping in his mother's womb when his pregnant Mary visited his mom, John knew instantly what his prophetic responsibility would be: to announce the coming of the Lord to all flesh, all nations. And so John preached in the deserts of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When confronted by Pharisees and Sadducees, you see, these were the latecomers who were trying to sneak in the back door to get baptized. John said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance." Aha! John the Baptist and his prophetic mission is exactly what Advent is all about. Not wreaths, not violet vestments, and not hanging out till Santa brings me my stuff. Advent is about getting ready for the return of our Lord and the end of everything as we know it. Thus, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight his paths. Are you situated right now, settled right now, and ready for the Lord of your redemption to return? Or are you wiggling around down there with the vipers, coming lately to the feast and hoping to sneak in the back door? Our basic Advent question is this: can you produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance? Let's hope so. John warns, "Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees." Is this meant to scare us, frighten us like children, into a last-second fit of self-flagellation and groveling for mercy. The picture John paints for us isn't all that comforting. John says that though he himself baptizes you with water for repentance, the Lord will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Wheat goes in the barn, chaff goes into the fire. So who is it again that we are waiting on? We are not waiting on Jesus, the social worker, Jesus, the hippie priest, Jesus, the baby doll of God. We are not waiting on a pacified, commercialized, suburbanized, plastic Messiah. Our Blessed Mother did not give birth to a group facilitator or a dialogue specialist or a conflict mediator. Our Father did not preserve the Virgin Mary from all stain of original sin so that she might bring into this world some guy to teach us to be nice to one another, to show us how to all just get along. As much as we would love to believe that Christ will return and pat us on our head for all of our C-minus efforts, his coming again is about one thing and about one thing only: the consummation of human history, the end of everything as we know it. So let's ask that Advent question one more time. Can you produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance? Truly, we must resist the temptation to domesticate our Lord, to whittle him down into a wooden toy or sugarcoat him into a holiday candy. We are not playing a game here. We are not feeling the warm fuzzy of rum nog. The good news of Advent is that he is coming again. But this is the good news of Christmas. It's the good news of Lent, Easter, Pentecost, Ordinary Time, and every solemnity we celebrate in between and among the feast days of the saints. Our need to repent, to turn from sin and to love as God loves, is a daily, hourly need. A nothing special about this season need. If you are ready, stay ready. If you are not ready, get ready. Why? Because if you have ears to hear, listen. There is a voice crying out in the desert, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."